Well, guys, I'm not sure what is going on here, but when I try to do a multi-stream, it just YouTube would not receive any content. And nothing I did seemed to make it better. So we're starting a little late here, but we are starting, and I hope you like the way this has all come together. I'm going to put everything here into the... to the main site so that you guys can at least link on it and take a look. But look at all of this all around here. It's so wonderful. We got all of this going by. How wonderful is this? So we've got a lot going on here. I've set up these new overlays, and yes, if you look into down there where it's going, you can see that we have places where you can obviously all our social media stuff, Twitter and all that kind of thing. And then we also have Streamlabs where you can, do alerts and that sort of thing. If you follow on Facebook, it'll let you know. Any super chats you put up there will come up right up there and in different places depending on what kind of views I have. Now, I don't have anybody on Skype, but I have these set up for Skype. And now I can use the entire overlay, which is kind of nice. It even tells us right there where how many people are actually watching this silly thing. So let me get into this and put the new link here. It is a real nightmare, and I don't know why. It should have started working, but it something to do with the way Facebook or something. It didn't like it, but we're up now. Again, you can go to Super Chats. You can go wherever you want. Of course, you can do the regular chats on YouTube, and we'll get started. But I hope you guys all like these new overlays that I put together with Skype and that sort of thing. We can do separate windows, and I'm very excited about all this techie bullshit. What can I say? But hey, we all got to have a hobby, right? We all got to have a hobby. We got to have something we enjoy, something gets us excited in these treacherous days. And I got to enjoy it while I can before the Night of Long Knives comes for me and for this site, the way Google is going after everybody who doesn't agree with them. The Google Gestapo, maybe we call them that. I don't understand these assholes, but... What are you gonna do? So, anyway, I'm putting the links where I can. Here's the stream now, a little late. Enjoy. And I'll just feature it. What the hell? I don't know. Everything in my browser just doesn't seem to be working the way it should, and I don't know why. But, well, what are you going to do? Sometimes things don't work the way you expect them to. So, there we go. But anyway, yeah, send your comments. I hope you like this. I've put the information in there. If you guys want to find me on Skype, I do have Skype running, so we can do that. But for right now... I am going to go to the main site. I'm going to go over some news that we've had over the past week or 2 weeks or so that we just haven't talked about, because we've been talking about Cobra Kai, we've been talking about Mandalorian, everybody's been dealing with the fallout of the election and the holidays and everything else. So. But there are some new interesting things I want to talk about here, so let's talk about them. So, as you can see here, Steve Lytle died, and he was only 61. I mean, that is way, way too young, considering I'm only about 10 years away from that. I wasn't that familiar with his work, but I was familiar with these classic X-Men comics, and I do like his artwork. I think it's pretty awesome. I love the new Doom Patrol series. I didn't read much of his work, which is Something I probably need to rectify. But certainly he has some interesting artwork, and I know Run For It Marty or Ben would be pretty up on this sort of thing. So just kind of wanted to give a shout out. It's a shame. Sorry he had to pass away, but you know, I think his work is worthy of mention, especially his classic X-Men artwork. I really liked his stuff. This was a big one. Everybody was talking about Jodie Whittaker is leaving Doctor Who. You know, it wasn't that they made Doctor Who a female. It was that. Here's the thing. When they make these changes, like one thing I've noticed is that in every commercial, every couple is a mixed race couple right now. And, you know, you're putting females where anything that we can hurt the white males or destroy the white males or whatever. And their whole reason for doing this is because they think it bothers me. And that's what insults me. It's not that I care about a mixed race or that I care about a female Doctor Who. It's that they think I do. That they assume I do. That they are absolutely 100% convinced that I am just a seething bigot, just pissed off, raging at this kind of stuff. And I'm not. I don't care that much. If it wasn't so transparently obvious what you're doing, and because you've put that at the top of your list, you're not able to tell really decent stories. And that's what happened to the to the sequel trilogy, and everything else. But Jodie is leaving, and a 14th Doctor is coming. It's all very exciting, which means we failed utterly at shoving our politics down your throat. So I never watched Doctor Who. Doctor Who is one of those that I wish I liked. I've watched a few, especially when I was young during like the Tom Baker years and that kind of stuff. And it was one of those that was hard to find when it was coming on, because in those days it was only on like PBS, and sometimes it was on really late, or, you know, you just couldn't catch it every night when they were showing reruns. And I didn't have the opportunity to really understand what was going on there and how it all worked and what the world is. And now if I wanted to get into it, what was there, like 75 seasons worth of shit? I mean, I'm a completist. I'd have to start at the beginning. I don't get that kind of time. So I respect what it's done. I respect that it's been on that long. Obviously, it's got a great fan base. I know they had a spinoff. I think it was called Torchwood or something like that. I don't have an issue with Doctor Who in general. I just don't like that it's fallen in the same trap as everything else, where we've got to do some sort of... Oh, for God's sakes, my dogs are barking away. Probably a low-flying jet over Ontario, and that just sets them off. So, you know, I mean, the actors and actresses who get tossed in these situations, some of them agree with it, and some of them are just wanting a job and do the best they can. Some of them know the people that are working with them, so... I don't know. I don't know whether it's good, bad, indifferent. It is what it is. And for the most part, it's just these showrunners and these people who put this stuff together. They don't know what they're doing. They don't care about you. They hate you. They hate all the people that made this amazing. And we're seeing it, you know, in the aftermath of the election. Just, you know, Twitter and Facebook just destroying... pages and groups and cutting out swaths of people they disagree with. It's so stupid. We've been through all this before. We know what inevitably happens. You know, when you start censoring, when you start killing off voices, you're basically committing suicide, and you don't even realize it. And that's what's happened to a lot of these properties. They're committing suicide because they're not they're not understanding what the people who love them and made them successful, what they're really all about. So another property is biting the dust. Well, yeah, they'll make another Doctor. People watch it for a few minutes and then they'll realize it's the same BS, and it won't matter whether it's another guy or not. So after the resounding success of Wonder Woman 84, Lucasfilm is already starting to manage out Patty Jenkins from Rogue Squadron. Now, what they're saying is that they're going to be very hands-on with Rogue Squadron. So let's take a look. We got Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, Josh Trank, Gareth Edwards, Colin Trevorrow, Rian Johnson, the Game of Thrones guys. The list goes on and on and on. They're put onto a project and then exited the famous Creative Differences line, get heavily reshot or re-edited, or simply had another project apparently in the pipeline that just fails to materialize. There are more Lucasfilm leavers on the ledger than there are joiners. That is really sad. I mean, you've got J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and Filoni. And then Ron Howard did Solo, and Gareth Edwards kind of did. I'm not sure who really did Rogue One, because what Gareth Edwards put up there and what ended up on the screen, who actually cut that together and who put that all together, I have no idea at this point. Maybe one of you guys know or have heard in the rumors, but from what I hear, it's pretty sad. So we've got the news break from We Got This Covered that Lucasfilm is going to be very hands-on with Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Now, I recall that the Wonder Woman, when Trevorrow came out with his movie right after, I can't remember what it was called, but it was universally derided by critics and audiences. And it had to do with these kids who kind of had to solve a mystery or something, but it was done in a very serious, dramatic way. I can't even remember the goddamn name of it. It doesn't matter. But it did terribly, and immediately Trevorrow was booted out of episode 9. So now Wonder Woman 84 comes out, and I don't know if you guys saw, but initially it came out and the Rotten Tomatoes score was like 89%. And that was like the European reviewers. And as soon as the American reviewers and more specifically the audience scores came out, the American reviewers, that thing dropped like a stone. I mean, it was like the Pittsburgh Steelers, their last four games this season, just died horribly. Down to 60-some-odd percent, I think, last I saw. So, you know that Lucasfilm went, whoop. And probably is now really rethinking how much good old Patty Jenkins is going to have on Rogue Squadron. So, you know, she had the success of Wonder Woman. She parlayed that to total creative freedom with the sequel. Now, as I understand it, she didn't write the first one. She just directed it. And I think she's got a keen eye as a director. I think she does a pretty good job, you know, blocking, framing, pacing, all that kind of stuff. The problems I have with the original Wonder Woman movie were not anything to do with the direction. It was more to do with the ending and just degenerating into a big CGI fight that was kind of hard to... I mean, you know, you just got bored. But up until then, I think especially Wonder Woman's fish out of water stuff and discovering man's world and all that kind of stuff, her character moments or wanting to just save people, I think it was all really well done. And she didn't write a 1 ounce of that. I mean, I'm sure she had some creative moments on the set or whatever, but the script wasn't hers. This 84, the script was hers, and it was definitely an unmitigated disaster. So, you know, I don't wish her ill will or anything. I mean, I hope she works it out. I hope she knows where her weaknesses and her strengths are and gets it worked out. But right now, I don't know. I don't think she's a good director. I don't think she's a good writer, is what I'm saying. So she's not afraid to walk away. She walked from Thor the Dark World. And after Star Wars Stablemate, Marvel wouldn't budge on certain creative points. So she just walked away from that. Lucasfilm will have to be watching what happened to Wonder Woman 84 pretty closely. You know, which part of Lucasfilm is watching this? And I'm sure all you guys probably watch or listen to The Critical Drinker. But the question is, who's in charge of Lucasfilm right now? Is it Kathleen Kennedy, or is it the other faction? Now, I don't know if there's somebody on the other faction that's at Kathleen Kennedy's level. Certainly Favreau and Filoni, the showrunners of The Mandalorian, now they've got this whole bevy of shows they want to put out. They put out a show that I think The Drinker was a little hard on, but maybe objectively, I mean, I think he's got some points, but quite frankly, it was finally I was having fun with Star Wars again. And that's all I've asked for. I mean, Star Wars isn't all that deep, as much as we'd like to think so. I think it exceeded its own. It went above and beyond itself with Empire Strikes Back. It went farther than it had any right to. And we've all been looking for that level of excellence. That's probably unfair to ask for in a space opera with space wizards and laser swords and things like that. But overall, The Mandalorian brought back at least that sense of here's the good guys, here's the bad guys. Here's some heart. Luke Skywalker is doing what we expected him to be doing. And I had fun. And I'll put that with Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai and The Mandalorian, if you want to put those two together, are two interesting case studies right now. They are two properties that brought characters back that, and I've said this before, and I'm probably at the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to say it again. These are two properties that were able to make you interested in the new characters without having to destroy or tear down the old characters. They did not have to make the old look crappy for the new to look good. And that's been a real problem with most of these other properties. As they have brought in, and it isn't always the old. I mean, sometimes it's just the only way to make the hero to look good is to make the other people she fights look too bad. And I don't mean like, I mean like excessively bad. For instance, Captain Marvel, right? You have one guy just says hi to her and he's a little smarmy. So she gets to rip off his bike and his shirt and tear him to pieces. You know, things like that where it's excessive retaliation for rudeness. That's the only way you can elevate your character. Well, then they don't understand what they're doing is they're not elevating their character. They're bringing them down to the level that you think the villain is at. It's like you don't understand this. I mean, everybody should be elevated. Everybody should be. We should be trying to find the best in everything. And yes, the obstacles that we put in front of the hero. I mean, yeah, villains are going to be terrible, but the villains are terrible for reasons and for ideas that we can understand. Maybe one of the things they did in Cobra Kai was try to go through a little bit of the backstory of Kreese. And what they did well was they gave you some sympathy or some understanding of why he is the way he is without detracting from his overall, he's a villain. He still is crap. Now you understand why he's crap. And it actually makes him more crappy. in a weird way, you're still elevating him, at least for story purposes. So I don't know if I'm making sense at this point, but the thing is that it's not because of some of our world stupidity, of our world Twitter garbage, of all the stuff that's going on right now. It's not, they're not trying to shove that crap into it. I didn't need to see Wonder Woman taking on Donald Trump. That's just stupid. And how dated is that going to be in 3 years? In 2 years? The end of this year? How dated is that going to look? It just, there's no forward thinking. Nobody thinks more than 5 minutes into the future. And maybe that's social media. Maybe it's destroying our brains in our ability to look farther ahead than, you know, the next tweet. I don't know. But it's going to date badly. So, knowing all that, will Patty Jenkins be able to stick with Rogue One? Will they kick her out? Will she get managed? I'm going to predict that she's going to be gone within 2 months. I'm just going to predict that. I could be wrong, but I'm going to predict that's where it's going to go. In the meantime, Kevin Feige got a writer from Marvel to start working on Star Wars. And I guess he's going to pen the new Star Wars feature that Feige will develop and produce for Lucasfilm and Disney Pictures. His name is Michael Waldron. I guess he's been working on Rick and Morty, which I do love a lot. I hate Rick and Morty fans, but I do love Rick and Morty. He wrote Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and he's been the creator and head writer on Loki series for Disney. So, again, this is going to be one of those where they say, let's see how it looks until it's no longer viable. I mean, if the fan reaction is a backlash, if it feels like it's a Loki and the Doctor Strange is a lot of social justice nonsense and people turn it off, he'll be exited quickly as well. And be interesting to see. I also understand that they're also rebranding the Galaxy's Edge theme park, getting rid of a lot of the sequel trilogy theming and instead putting in more classic original trilogy theming or maybe some prequel stuff. I think that's a good move. I really want to go. I mean, if nothing else, just to see a full-on display of the Millennium Falcon. But sad. I mean, why has a lot of money that's going to go down the pipe. And considering they haven't exactly had full theme parks this year. Pretty bad. Zack Snyder is doing Army of the Dead. A plague has been released from Nevada's area. You know, I hear Zack Snyder and I'm going to go, it's not going to be good, guys. It's not going to be good. I know he did the Dawn of the Dead remake and everybody kind of liked it. But now, when he did that, Snyder had to be restrained because he wasn't Zack Snyder yet. Do you think that him being completely unrestrained, this is going to be great? I just don't think so. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of over the whole zombie thing. I'm just tired of it. I'm blowing away zombies. Who cares? What else are you going to do that's going to be amazing? It's zombies. You shoot them in the head. There's too many of them. It's a wasteland. I don't know. It's all the same post-apocalyptic stuff. I'm kind of over it. So, we'll see. All this Ray Fisher stuff is interesting. I've been kind of following this along the edges. I know Fisher is screaming. The way he's screaming, it reminds me of a Me Too movement. Not that it was sexual or anything, but the way, I guess, the abusiveness on the set of Joss Whedon's Justice League and the abusiveness of who is, oh, this guy, Walter Hamada. It just sounds like a complete shit show at Warner. And so I don't think, you know, they own all, it always bothered me because Warner never had any of the problems with that Marvel had with their properties being strewn all over different production companies. Now they've managed to get back most of it except for the Spider-Man stuff, which is a pretty big jewel, but still they've been able to bring it all together and do this. Warner never had this problem. They owned all of it. They could do Batman, so they could bring them all together, and they can't get their act together. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I think part of it is reflected in all the weirdo politics that these people put out. But the truth is, I think there's just some mentally broken people just running the entertainment divisions nowadays. They're just. I don't know, too much money, too walled off from normal life, no understanding. I'm sure not all of them, but a lot of these people, they're just in this weird bubble world. And I think they got mental problems. I really do. Because you can't go a day without hearing about some sort of heinous behavior going on. And not sexual necessarily, although some of it is. The pedophilia was rampant and still probably is. The drugs, the alcohol, the bizarre. I mean, Madonna and her bizarre, what was she talking about? Fried fish or something during the pandemic. I mean, they're so, it's not even anywhere near real life. And I just don't understand where this is all coming from. It's really weird. So I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It feels like we've just got a group of broken people that run entertainment. And this is kind of a, to me, this is kind of representative of that. I mean, Fisher has talked about all kinds of abusive behavior. I mean, we've heard these audio tapes come out of people just haranguing and yelling at people. Cruz did it. Everybody remembers Christian Bale way back on Terminator, screaming at people. And you know, these are just the ones that got out. You know, there's tons of this kind of abuse going on. I mean, this is not healthy. Why would anybody want to work in the entertainment industry? I'm going to tell you guys something. I've talked to you guys about my daughter going to school for acting, and she's quit. And most of it is because the people that she's dealing with, both the students and the teachers and everything, she says they're all nuts. She said that the damn president of the school, when he did his thing, he says he has to take, like, I don't know, 15 Zoloft or something just to get out of bed in the morning every morning, or some sort of, you know, therapeutic, you know, drugs or something like that. And, like, these are the people that are teaching them. These are the people that are running it. It's no wonder all of our entertainment is turning into garbage these days. I mean, I don't understand. It's just, at the very least, we've got a lot of unhappy people writing this entertainment. And I'm like, what do you got to be unhappy about? You're getting to write Superman or The Flash or Justice League or something like that. You're getting to work on something that Star Wars, we'd all love to do. Or just even regular movies. I would love to be able to put together my own movies and that kind of thing and be creative. They'll never let me anywhere near it. I'm too well put together. I don't scream at people. I'm not abusive. I don't know what to do. It's sad. So Cyborg was going to be a part of Flash. Fisher was going to have his own solo movie, but then he made all his accusations and now he's gone. And I understand that to a certain extent. If you're going to call out everybody, you're definitely going to get tossed out I mean, why would we work for you? Who knows what you'll be saying afterwards? So I get that. But I appreciate Fisher's willingness to sacrifice all that to say, there's a lot of broken, abusive, nasty people working on these things. And we've seen it. I mean, you know, as soon as the, after the Capitol Hill, I mean, you saw the night alone. What's I can't remember the actor's name. He was on Arrested Development. I think he played in the Kung Fu Panda movies. It doesn't matter. But he said, you know, I want blood for these people. It's like there's no forgiveness for these people. There's no kindness. Where's the kindness in Hollywood anymore? There's none. They're not kind people. They're horribly nasty, mean people. And they want to hurt others. They get joy from that, from what I can tell. Well, no wonder my daughter doesn't want to work in this industry. I mean, she's sad by it, but I mean, it's like, who would want to work for a bunch of vicious, horrible people? You got everything in the world, and you're the unhappiest people I've ever seen in my life. What? I don't get it. I don't get it. And, you know, well, they're destroying everything they worked up to. Hey, here's Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller, it's not enough for him to be in all these movies. He's got to look like this. He got to look like this. He's got to strangle his fans. Why? What's the problem here, guys? I mean, at some point, I'm tired of being mad at him. I'm just wondering, what is going on there that people that get into this industry get turned into this? And David Cross, yes, thank you. Thank you, Loose Rounds. And I'll get to the chats here in a second. I have been noticing them. But you're right, Loose. They're all ego nuts. Don't worry about my spelling, accidental tourist. That's exactly it. Orange Man, bad zombie movies. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't mean to get off into a rant here, but I'm just mystified at this point. I've gotten to a point. It's like it's a group of people who are. I don't know if they're insecure or if they're power mad or a combination. They can't handle it when somebody says something different to them. They have to just stomp on people. And when they go home, I mean, after a while, how many of them end up overdosing on drugs, committing suicide? It's like, what is so wrong that we've got all these broken people here with more money than God, more clout than I'll ever have, that are so destroyed in their personal well-being and their mental well-being? I guess I'm being nicer than probably people want to be right now, but I'm getting tired of being angry. I've been angry for a long time, and it's not getting this anywhere. And now I'm just trying to understand this a little bit better. Why has this gotten so bad? I'm more angry about me not being able to multi-stream, but that's a technical issue. So speaking of Justice League, Snyder confirmed the changes. He said a very small portion of the movie is the new stuff he shot. So he did do new shootings, reshoots, I should say. But he also says that 80% of the movie has never been seen by anyone. Visual effects wise, that's even including scenes that you've never seen that don't have visual effects. So out of a 4-hour movie, if 80% of it is brand new, that would put it at what? About a little less than an hour that you've seen before out of this 4-hour movie. And Jared Leto is going to be in there with the Joker. That, okay. I'm not sure why, but okay. Got to fill up that 4 hours with something. I'll admit, I'm going to see this. Obviously, I'm going to see this. I got to talk about it. I will talk about it on a live stream or something. But I don't, I, I have no faith in this to be any good. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't know. Everybody's hinging on this like it's going to be the greatest thing ever. I know not everybody, but I mean, there just seems to be so much buzz and excitement over it, like it's going to redeem the first one. It will be different. It'll be more involved. But Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, those were bad. Those were bad. And so I have no faith in this to be good. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be weird. It's going to be a lot to talk about and complain about. But good? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. So we'll see. We will see. Let's see. Oh, I thought this was kind of interesting. The new most popular pirated show is The Mandalorian. That does not surprise me at all. It knocked off Game of Thrones after being a decade on top. I am surprised that Game of Thrones is still, up until now, on top. Because, man, did they shit the bed so badly. That end, wow. Lost levels of failure. So, I could see everybody wanting to see The Mandalorian, especially after they... What, Luke's in it? Luke? Really? So now we have 10 more Star Wars shows planned. So you know that horse is getting beaten and good. The rest of the top five being made up: The Boys, Westworld, which is also a show that has flown off the rails. I gave up about 3 episodes into season 2. Vikings, and Star Trek Picard. Star Trek Picard is not worth your bandwidth. Not worth it at all. Rick and Morty and The Walking Dead saw some big numbers, as did Arrowverse and Berlanti shows, astoundingly. Well, I mean, that's pretty much based on the properties, you know? People love those superhero characters, and they keep hoping that maybe this one will be good, and it just keeps not being good. So, and then finally, Sean, our own Sean Bird, who he wrote about the Avengers Age of Ultron, kind of a retro review. Now, for some reason, the Age of Ultron is trending right now. I really don't know why. I don't know what started that. But Age of Ultron, now, I'm not, you know, Joss Whedon, yes, he's a piece of shit. Everybody knows that he's kind of a creep and all this kind of stuff. Fine. Let's just take a look at the movie itself. Now, I feel like Age of Ultron has... Now that the whole, at least the Infinity Saga, is completed, I feel like Age of Ultron has improved or works even better than it did when it first came out. I like the groundwork that they laid for the split between Tony and Cap, that was laid out there. I like the Sokovia wasn't just a big CGI weird fest. It had lasting ramifications through the rest of the saga. It certainly laid the groundwork for Civil War and Infinity War, with Vision and with the Sokovia Accords and that sort of thing. It even had a little in. They did throw in a little bit for Ragnarok. I wish that they didn't really know what they were doing there, so that didn't really pan out the way it ended up, because it looked like a real serious thing, and then Ragnarok ended up being a comedy romp. Not that I'm complaining. I think Ragnarok's the best of the Thor series. It's great, but you know, Tony and his desire to save everybody and the mistakes he makes to do that are really laid bare there. Because if you look at Civil War, Tony is the bad guy. He is the antagonist in that movie, not Zemo. Zemo is Zemo is the guy that sets off the events and sets the events in motion. But if you look at how Tony acts in there, he really doesn't. He really kind of turns bad, but not in your traditional sense. And that's what I think makes that movie really interesting. And it couldn't have happened the way it did without Age of Ultron. And overall, I think the creation of Ultron, the working with, you know, the Infinity Stones are a big part of that. Overall, I mean, I kind of like it. I like what it put together. It's not perfect. I also love the camaraderie that they showed. Like, they started out with the sweeping one camera, you know, the long camera shot, the unbreaking camera shot that ended up with all of them working together. That's how they start the movie. That's how they ended Avengers. And this was like, yeah, they're all together. There's a lot of camaraderie. They're all sitting and partying, and they're playing around with the hammer, which also has ramifications later on when Cap picks it up in Endgame. And let me digress on that. I think that when people ask, why couldn't he pick it up in Ultron? I've heard the Russo say, well, he was just being nice. I was like, that's ridiculous. That's a dumb. That's just two directors being put on the spot trying to come up with an answer. I'm not blaming them for that, but that's just what it was. So, but the reason why he couldn't pick it up, and I wrote an article about this. I think it's back on the old site that shall not be named, but the reason why he couldn't pick it up is because at that point, he knew about Tony's father, Howard, how he died, and he kept that from Tony, and he was lying and hiding that from him. And he thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. And there was still this part of him that wasn't being his true self. So he could almost move it, but he needed to get past that, and he needed to understand who he was in this grand scheme of things. And I think Civil War solidified that. And once he got done with Civil War, he realized who he was, what he was willing to do, and what he was willing to stand for. I think at any time after Civil War, he could have picked up the hammer. It just wasn't presented to him. But couldn't quite in Age of Ultron. That's my theory. You can pick that apart if you want, but I think that's what happened there, and I think it works perfectly within the character arc of Cap. Because really, the entire Infinity Saga is really the revolving relationship between Tony and Cap and how they changed and grew as characters. The rest of them have all their own ancillary stories, and some of them are better than others. But for the most part, that's what they are, the core, the center of the entire Infinity Saga. And when you look at it like that, I think Ultron, Age of Ultron, definitely plays a very large part in all that. And so, you know, we learn a little bit more about Vibranium. They kind of lay down the seeds of Wakanda in that. There's a lot of things that are laid down that you probably, when you saw it, you go, well, now what? And I get that, but I've kind of gotten to the point that I look at the MCU as just a very large, high-budget TV show, and just will have faith that, you know, the answers will come later, and you're just going to have to wait a little longer, and I'm okay with that. I like that. I like being able to sit there. And I mean, that's what we used to do. What was it? 3 years between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, another 3 between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Definitely a whole big story, a whole big saga. We had to speculate and try to understand, and people were not happy after Empire Strikes Back. I don't think anybody remembers that. They were not happy after Empire Strikes Back. There was a lot of people who said that was the worst one for a long time. It took until the entire saga was done and the dust had settled before people realized how good Empire Strikes Back really was. And it wasn't that people hated Empire Strikes Back. They just said it was the worst one, mostly because it was the downer of the three. You know, you have to grow up and you realize that there's a lot more depth in that. And that's I think there's a little bit of that in Ultron, not enough, but it certainly lays the groundwork for the downers to come. So I kind of agree. I don't know why it's trending, but I do agree with Sean that it is good. Is a lot of people also hate the Black Widow, Bruce Banner, and he doesn't like it either. I don't know. I guess I'm the only one that felt like that wasn't such a bad thing. I didn't have that much of a problem with it. I don't know why everybody hates it so much, but you know, it's not your thing. It's not your thing. I thought it was fine. It didn't bother me. So if it's something that irritates the shit out of you or you don't like it, I get it. I respect that. But I thought it was a nice, I mean, I felt like these two kind of had a little bit similar in common. They were broken people in a lot of ways, and I could see her and him gravitating together. I can also see why it didn't actually work out and what had to happen, where it ended up. I'm fine with all that. But I don't know why. It just didn't bother me that much. I thought it was kind of a nice idea, but everybody else says nothing about those two characters would ever give you the idea that they would ever have a real connection. Maybe I just see it differently, I guess. I see Widow and Banner both as broken people, so I kind of got it. But maybe they were the two. That's right, Luce. They set it up when she went and got Bruce, and those two initially made their first connection. I thought that maybe it's because the two actors had some reasonably good chemistry on screen. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I just didn't hate it the way everybody seems to hate it. And I sometimes think that maybe we get too dogmatic about our comic book Bibles. Well, that wasn't the way it was in the comics. Yeah, I know. I don't care. I mean, yeah, I want it to be true to the nature of the comics and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes I think it's always good to try something that you could never try in the comics. You know, one of the things they did in the animated series, Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series, was that Lois and Bruce met and had a relationship to the point that she was about ready to move to Gotham to run the to work at the planet in the Gotham City so she could continue to see Bruce. They were really cared about each other. And then she found out he was Batman, and then it all fell apart. But it was something that never ever happened in the comics, not that I'm aware of anyway. So I think that's things you can do without totally destroying the properties. And certainly nobody could say that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and those guys didn't do a great job with the animated series through from Batman the Animated Series through Justice League and Batman Beyond. I think they did the shared universe before it was cool. If Warner had a brain in their head, they would hire him to build that thing. But they won't. So anyhow, that's kind of the news I wanted to go through. I wanted to get a stream out. I am working on finally the new James Bond is going to come out. It looks like in April, I believe. So I wanted to do a retrospective on every single one. And I am not a James Bond fanatic. I like him. I like the movies. I'm not in love with the character, or it's not a huge thing like it is with our friends across the pond and others that are really, huge James Bond nuts. And I have some different perspectives on it. So I'm just going through each of them, rating them, trying to put a little bit more humor into it. And I'll be putting those out once every few weeks. I got some more overlooks that I'm working on, and probably some special effect videos. And if you got any suggestions, I'd be happy to hear it. And encourage our buddy Sean here, who wrote The Age of Ultron, to get his opinions out in video form, because we need all we can get. Boone, maybe would have had more impact if Hulk and Widow went to Vormir. Maybe, but because he was the Hulk, there's no way he wouldn't have gone down. Of course, he wouldn't have died if he fell that it wouldn't have killed him, I don't think. So, yeah, that would have caused a lot of issues. I gotta wonder, though, since he put the stone back, is she alive again? Is that how it works? I don't know. I find it's like, well, you gotta take a soul if you take a soul. Okay, here's the stone back. Oh, do you got a receipt? Yeah, one Black Widow, please. So we'll see if she comes back. I'm glad they finally got her a movie. I'm hoping that's what happens, that she kind of comes back. I also heard, and I don't know if we've written a story about it, but I did read that they're working again with Downey to bring him back for more Iron Man shenanigans. So, hey, it's the comic books. Nobody's ever dead. People die all the time in comic books. They never stay dead. Except for Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, nobody ever stays dead. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, guys, what do you think of our new layouts and stuff? Do you like it? You think it's better? Like I said, we've got... I can show you some of what I got here, but we have... of course, I've shown you this. So when I do a share, and then I've got this, and in this little square here will be a Skype, and then if I have two people on, we can do it that way as well. So I'm trying different things. I'm hoping that it looks better. I have no idea why YouTube would not pull in the stream until I turned off Facebook. That was disappointing. But overall, I like this setup better, and I think it's cleaner, and it has a little bit more information. And of course, remember, like, share, subscribe, turn on that notification bell, all the usual things that that every YouTuber says. But you know, that's how it works. We need you to share it out, especially. That's the best way. I have had a lot more traffic on the site, so I'm going to do my best to try to keep up the output, put out more videos this year. Got a lot of stuff I want to go through, and then, you know, of course, we'll continue doing the streams. I'll continue putting this on the podcast site, so hopefully everybody will be enjoying these. And and I want to get more audience involvement. I do want to talk to you guys. I do want you guys. A lot of YouTubers, the bigger they get, and part of this is just a hazard as they get big. But I do want, you know, if you guys want to get on and have conversations with me, I'd like it to be more involved, more interactive, that sort of thing. I'd like you guys to be a part of this and not just passive viewers, if that's something you are interested in. So, you know, feel free to let me know, and I'll be here. I think it's more fun with more people. And I also think that, it'd be nice if we could all get in a room together, but that's obviously not going to happen. But it is nice to have, to talk to people and to have that face-to-face contact and to be able to interact more. And I think we all need to get off Twitter and Facebook and chats and comment sections and things like that, leaving our little I think we need to talk with each other and have conversations more, just in general. That's kind of my, I guess you call it my New Year's resolution. I want to talk to people more. I don't want to just talk at people and don't get me wrong, I don't want to just destroy everything. I'm not saying we don't do Twitter comment sections or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that at all, but we've lost something, and we need to get back to it. We need to talk to each other more, just in general. Even if we're arguing with each other, it's the only way we're going to create any sort of understanding between people anymore. And that's, you know, if you disagree, I'm going to state my opinion, and if you disagree, I absolutely want to hear from you. I would love to talk to you about it, and not just you know, after the fact. So I'll do my best to get these scheduled. I think I figured it out. I'm going to do some more testing. So you may see some streams pop up that are just for testing purposes. I'm using this new Streamlabs thing. I think it's got a lot of neat stuff. I do love these overlays that it can let me do. It's really nice looking. And I can still use my control room background, but now I'm not, you know, just half of the, my arm isn't disappearing halfway out, you know, it's taking up the whole screen. So, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm excited about it. I think we're going to do a lot of neat things this year. So we're into, this is by August, we'll have been around for 2 years. Last Movie Outpost will celebrate 2 years in August. So hopefully we'll be even bigger than we were. But and don't just share a YouTube site. I mean, please, if you got people that are interested, or if you're on Reddit or something like that, if you can throw the site out there, throw the YouTube channel out there. We want to get out as far as we can. I think we've got a little bit more reasonable perspective on entertainment, and I love the group of guys I'm working with, and I love all you people that have been supporting us. I really appreciate it. You're always here chatting with me, and I love that, and I love that you guys watch. So just want to keep sharing and getting more and more like-minded people that, and I don't mean people that agree with me, I'm talking about people that like to talk, like to argue, like to talk about the things they love instead of the things they hate, and that'd be a lot more fun. So at the risk of sounding like Rose in Last Jedi, I'll leave it with that. And that was a good stream, 57 minutes. Sorry it took so long to get it going. I'm going to have to play around with that and see why. But overall, loved it. Had fun, guys. And I will see you on the next stream.